From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. In a few minutes, we talk debate strategy before two big political matchups. Candidates for governor square off tomorrow in the KERA studios, and the only debate in the lieutenant governor's race starts in a little more than a half hour in Austin. First to Highland Park, where the books are back. The district had pulled 7 books from classrooms after parents complained. Over the weekend, the school district reversed itself. The decision comes after heated opposition against the book suspensions. Superintendent Dawson Orr says he thought removing the books from the classroom would de-escalate concerns from parents, but it had the opposite effect.
I think it makes absolute sense to say it wasn't successful. I absolutely felt I had discretion to make a decision that I thought was in the best interest of the district.
One book still has a formal challenge against it, The Art of Racing in the Rain by Garth Stein. That book was on the fall syllabus, and some classes were reading it when the district announced the suspension. Orr says teachers will be able to use the book while it's being reviewed by a district committee.
We also have asked English teachers to be sure that they are prepared to offer alternatives to parents who request that choice.
This isn't the first book conflict between parents and the Highland Park District. Over the summer, parents asked for more transparency about how the district determined which books were appropriate for students. The school year was the first time Highland Park made its approved book list public. A new controversy has flared up as the candidates for governor prepare for their last televised debate tomorrow at KERA. It involves the Texas Enterprise Fund, which was designed to award financial subsidies to companies that create jobs. Democrat Wendy Davis alleges her Republican opponent, Attorney General Greg Abbott, tried to cover up improper spending of the money. KERA's Shelley Koffler reports that Davis is calling for an independent investigation of Abbott, and he's responding with his own allegations.
Davis's call for an independent investigation follows a scalding state auditor's report last week. It found Governor Rick Perry's job-creating fund awarded more than $200 million to 11 organizations that didn't formally apply for the money and didn't always meet the requirements for creating jobs. State law makes Greg Abbott, as Attorney General, responsible for monitoring state accounts and recovering money that's misspent. At a Monday press conference, Davis accused Abbott of covering up improper awards he should have known about. She linked his actions to $1.4 million in campaign donations that Abbott received from those who benefited from the fund.
And he looked the other way, as hundreds of millions of our tax dollars were handed out without any oversight or accountability.
Davis's charge of a cover-up follows Abbott's telling the Dallas Morning News it could not see a specific application for Enterprise Fund money because the information was confidential. The Texas Tribune reports that in at least 5 cases where access to applications were denied, there was nothing to keep secret because there were no applications.
He used the power of his office to keep records secret from the public, concealing the fact that basic documentation simply never existed and that large sums of taxpayer money was being funneled to companies improperly.
Davis has called on Abbott's office to release all internal documents and give back the campaign contributions until questions are cleared up. Abbott's Attorney General's office issued a statement calling the accusations political posturing. It said the auditor didn't say Abbott had done something wrong. Abbott's campaign declined an interview request, but through emails sought to turn the tables on Davis by claiming she personally profited from a decision by the Cabela's store to locate in Fort Worth. Cabela's received $400,000 from the Enterprise Fund in 2004. Davis, who at that time was on the city council in Fort Worth, supported incentives to bring Cabela's to the city. The title company she worked for helped handle the sale of property to Cabela's, but her campaign says that did not affect her pay. Claims and counterclaims of ethics violations and conflicts of interest have been thick throughout this governor's campaign. The question for Abbott and Davis is whether this one, so close to the election, involving the Enterprise Fund, will stick. Shelley Koffler, KERA News.
At 7 o'clock tonight, Republican Dan Patrick and Democrat Leticia Vandepute meet in Austin for their only debate in the race for lieutenant governor. KERA's Bill Zeeble has a preview.
On everything from immigration to education, frontrunner Dan Patrick and Leticia Vandepute agree on nearly nothing. Patrick has consistently pounded the border security drum since he started campaigning. In his appearance during the recent Texas Tribune Festival in Austin, he beat it some more.
We must secure the border to protect Texans from terrorists and criminals who come here.
Leticia Vandepute said at the same event that Patrick's words scared both residents and business owners along the border.
Business leaders, law enforcement, local elected officials have told us that the very harsh rhetoric and the tones that have been taken are hurting their ability to attract jobs.
Expect border security to come up again tonight. Vandepute says her Hispanic heritage means she's more in touch with Latinos than Patrick. He argues Republican values line up well with Hispanics' relatively conservative culture. He says that includes education, also expected to pop up tonight. Patrick likes government vouchers for private schools. He tried but failed to get a funding bill through the legislature last session and vows to try it again.
If you can't find a public school to go to, if you can't find a charter school to go to, you could get a scholarship from private business and take that money to go to a Catholic school, a Christian school, a private school, wherever you want to go.
Vandepute would spend money to improve schools that need it instead of giving a handful of students public money to attend private school. She'd also tap the state's rainy day fund to help pay for Texas high school graduates who want to go to college.
I am calling for the Texas Promise Plan. You could take a one-time allocation of $2 billion, take it to the voters, and then the proceeds from that could fund every qualified high school graduate for 2 years of community college or that certification program.
Patrick is wary about tapping the rainy day fund for education. He and other Republicans didn't do it more than 3 years ago when the education budget was cut $5.4 billion.
And the schools survived, and we did fine.
That's debatable. More than 600 Texas school districts sued over the funding cuts and won in court when a judge ruled the slashed budget was unconstitutional. Education and other topics like health care and state taxes are all fodder for tonight's face-off. Bill Ziebel, KERA News.
Both the Lieutenant Governor's debate tonight and the Governor's debate tomorrow will air live on KERA-TV, radio, and KERANews.org. Tonight's debate starts at 7. Tomorrow's starts at 8. And we're just 2 weeks away from a big date for frequent flyers. On October 13th, the Right Amendment restrictions will be lifted at Dallas's Love Field, and a flock of new nonstop flights will take off. Delta Airlines won't be part of the expansion. In fact, on that day, Delta is out of Love. Right now, Delta flies five times a day to Atlanta from two gates at Love Field. The city of Dallas sent the airline a letter today saying Delta can no longer use those gates. Virgin America will take them over next month. Finally tonight, we all know that guy in the office who thinks his ideas are clearly the best, the guy who loves nothing more than the sound of his own voice. Today on Think, Chris Boyd talked to Jeffrey Kluger, the author of a new book about narcissists.
It's important to try to embrace and accept what narcissists do well in the workplace, which is generally that they will be the energizer at the beginning of a project. They'll be the ones with the best ideas very often at the beginning of a project. They'll certainly be the ones who go into a meeting and sell the idea well. They're, you know, Don Draper in Mad Men. It's good to have a narcissist in that situation. It's much worse when you've won the account. Then it's the day-to-day lower profile managing of the work that you've won, and that's where narcissists tend to slack off because there's no opportunity for glory.
Jeffrey Kluger's new book is called The Narcissist Next Door. Think re-airs tonight at 9, or you can find the podcast at kera.org/think. If you're brave enough, you'll also find a quiz there that measures just how much of a narcissist you are. You can like KERA News on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin.